listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference. Right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us this morning in the author's corner is a man who has spent over three decades teaching the world what stewardship isn't about. And what God wants from, it's not about what God wants from you, but what he wants for you, all right? That's what stewardship is about, what God wants for you. From his roots in the Zambia South Conference to his current leadership as the stewardship director at the Southern Africa Indian Ocean Division, that's the SID, Dr. Mundia Liwali has seen firsthand how divine partnership changes lives. He's here to discuss the global offertory devotional titled God is Faithful, He Keeps His Promises. It's more than just a collection of readings. It's supposed to serve as a roadmap for anyone tired of financial anxiety and ready to experience the peace of putting God first, as they would say. Muruti, good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning, thank you, and good morning to all our listeners.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi, trusting that we find you well.
Surely I'm well this morning.
We thank you. Thank you, by the way, for joining us and just taking the time to be part of this discussion. We know that you all have a very busy schedule, and we want to really appreciate you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mfundisi. So we are looking at this tithes reading, right? God is faithful. He keeps his promise. I think it was last year's offertory book, offertory readings book. Please tell us what inspired you to, maybe before we get even to the deeper things, to pick this as the theme and the title for this devotional.
Yes, it wasn't difficult to pick that as a title and theme for our readings for the previous year, because over time, as you read the Bible and through personal experiences, it was clear God is faithful. And when you go to Psalm number 34, reading stanza 8, or put in another way, Psalm 34, verse 8.
Okay.
It says, "Oh, test and see that the Lord is good." So God is good. He's faithful. When he tells his children, do this, it's because he knows that is for their good.
Okay.
And as far as his stewardship is concerned, he has even gone further to say, test me or try me and see if I will not be there for you, if I will not fulfill the promise that I have made. So that made me to pick on that theme, and it is good. I continue talking about it.
It is good indeed, and it needs to be spoken about even more. Now, the booklet offers and focuses on blending Bible truths with personal experiences. So almost every story on every particular day comes through with some lived experience, right? How challenging was it to blend these two, right? Talking about scripture, but also looking for the personal stories that are fitting for each and every day's lesson, right? With theological principles as well, in terms of giving. How do you blend those, all of those?
It's very, very easy, especially when you look at whatever happens as God, you see providences and as a way God communicates to people.
Okay.
So looking at the stories from that perspective, it's very easy to see how God is leading and how God is intervening in the lives of his people to care for them.
Yeah.
To provide for them. For example, there is a story there of this missionary pastor traveling to a certain place, carrying his child on the bike, and then they meet a pride of lions. And then knowing that that might be the end, he just tears part of the carton box where The son was on the saddle of the bicycle, and then writes that in case you find somebody who has been eaten by lions here, it's me and my son. Mm. And then I says, well, I will not just sit here. I will continue riding. If they catch me, they will catch me while I'm riding my bicycle. Yeah. And there he passes in between and goes. And so we see in Psalm 34:7 say that the angel of the Lord encompassed round about those who fear him to protect him. So it's very easy to see that in whatever happens, God is there and he has a purpose for what is happening to his people, teaching them to depend on him and teaching them that he cares for them, he loves them. So it wasn't really very difficult.
And I like how you put it across to say you even gave us the secret of how anybody can do it, right? To say when you look at everything through the lens of God's providence, you can then find godly stories and his meaning and his presence in everything that you do. I think it's Martin Luther, if I'm mistaken, who is credited for saying those who leave everything in God's hands will soon see God's hand in everything that they possess, right? And I think that's what we've been called to do in this book, is it not?
Sure, sure. That's very, very true.
What would you say is the most profound lesson from this booklet, God's faithfulness? He keeps his promises that you yourself as the author learned as you wrote the book.
In fact, not really as I wrote the book, but from the personal experience which made it possible to write those devotionals, that God will never ask us to do something for which he has not provided us with provisions to carry out that which he asks us to do. And that if we trust him, we will always find him faithful.
Okay.
This is through and through the devotionals and in my experience. There is also maybe one short experience that I put there of this time when I was visited myself by the mother of one of my friends, and she needed something urgently. And then I had the last note that I had of money. And so I, looking at her and loving her, loving the friendship we had with the son, I handed it out. And then without knowing that the Lord was going to replace it, because that is the last we had with my family. But immediately she said bye, another visitor came, and guess what? He gave me the exact amount of the note that I gave out. So God is faithful when he says, give, and it will be given back to you. It is very, very, very true. He does so. Yes. God is faithful.
Yes. Oh. He is faithful, and faithful is his name. We are currently having a conversation with Dr. Mundia Liwali, who was the principal contributor to the 2025 Tithes and Offering booklet, which was used the worldwide by Seventh-day Adventists in terms of the offertory and devotional readings. If you want to be a part of the conversation, by the way, you're more than welcome. Text us on +27 734703520. Muruti, when you talk stewardship and faithfulness, we've heard this term often being spoken about, right? That stewardship is a lifestyle rather than just about money. And in this booklet, in this devotional readings, how do they transform giving from a financial transaction into perhaps something that can be viewed as an experience of worship?
It's very, very, very easy. In fact, we have heard people say that giving is part of worship. That is not correct. The correct way to look at it is that giving itself is worship. When you go to the Old Testament, because that's where everything started, you go to Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 to 17, and also Exodus chapter 23, and you are reading verse 15. Mm-hmm. The good Lord there, our God, says, no one should appear before me empty-handed.
Yeah.
That is, people who are coming to worship their God, they come to worship him with what he has blessed them with. And when we go to the new, or when we come to the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, the wise people from the East, the story says they came to worship the newborn king, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And when we finally see them reaching where Jesus was, the worship that we see them doing is for them to give those precious gifts to Jesus Christ. That is worship. And so when we talk about tithe and offerings, we are talking about worshiping God with what he has blessed us with. Because he says, when you come into my presence, as you worship me with what I have blessed you with, to show that you recognize me as the provider. Yeah. Yeah. And you are dependent upon me. I'm your sustainer. And you are grateful for what I have done and continue doing to you. And so it's not only an issue of finances, because isn't God himself says in Haggai 2:8 that the silver and gold is mine. And so if he owns everything, he is not dependent on what he owns. No, it's already his. And like David also says later in the book of the Chronicles, that we have just given back to you that which belongs to you. So when we give, we are really not giving to enrich God, because everything that is in the world, what we see and what we don't see and what he has blessed us with, is his. Ours is only to worship him with ourselves and what he has blessed us with. That is complete worship. Unless people see giving as worship, they will always sometimes complain. It is as if God is demanding much. But no, God isn't demanding much. He cannot ask somebody to give if that particular person has not been blessed by him in the first place. And it is for this reason he says, don't appear before me empty-handed. Why? Because if we were to appear before God empty-handed, the communication we are giving to the other worshipers, even to the entire universe, is that God has never blessed me. If he had blessed me with something, I would have brought it. But I'm empty here in your presence, God, because you have not been there for me. You have not blessed me with anything. And who can really say that God has not blessed them with something? If people doubt that, to be alive is the greatest gift each one of us who is still alive is given on a daily basis. And that already should invoke in us a sense of gratitude to God and worship him with what he has blessed us with.
Potent, powerful stuff right there. You know, as you're speaking there, I was drawn to the fundamental belief statement of the Adventist Church on stewardship, where one of the last sentences there says, stewardship is a privilege, not a request, a privilege given to us by God for two things. Number one, nurture in love, and the victory over selfishness and covetousness. And I'm thinking, wow, what the Lord has provided that we could be having this victory. And I think it makes sense that in the intro we were speaking on how, as you write this book, you're saying it's what God is doing for us, not requesting from us. It's all for us. Now, interesting, Maruti, that you mention this quote from Deuteronomy 16, don't come before me empty-handed. And you're saying everyone has received such that they can bring. And if you look at our economies right now, especially in the Southern Africa space where your work is mostly centered, people are having challenges economically, so hardships, whatever they receive is not sufficient to even meet the needs that they are having as families. What would you say to somebody who thinks that they cannot then afford to be faithful? Because if they are to remove a 10% tithe, if they're to remove even a 5% promise offering, it's going to leave them at a devastated place, which they already are to begin with. What would be your response to such a person?
It is very, very interesting that sometimes we feel that we are very much constrained because we don't have much. Mm-hmm. But it's very also intriguing that the good Lord, as we have already mentioned, will not ask us to do that which we are not able to perform ourselves. Mm.
Mm. Okay.
I remember the story that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, talking about the people of Macedonia. Mm-hmm. In verse 2, the Bible said, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Saying in verse 4, praying us with much entreat that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Here are the Macedonians who were very, very poor, but in their poverty, as if answering Paul, maybe who was suggesting that, look, you are already poor. Mm. Don't put another burden on yourself to give. Mm. But no, they prayed that even in their own poverty, they needed to have the joy of giving. Mm. And so poverty actually cannot exclude somebody from giving. Like we have said, in everyone's poverty, there is still the provision of life and everything that the Lord gives to them. Because the day when God stops giving us, we stop to live. Mm. We die. And so, in fact, it has been proven also that the more economically people are challenged, the more they tend to depend on God, knowing that the little they have, for it to be able to sustain them, requires the blessings of God to be upon it. So those who have little, those who are struggling economically, cannot afford not to have the blessing of God on the little that they have. Because if they don't do so, imagine you have nothing. And then, like the book of Haggai says, that if we don't recognize the presence of God and appreciate what he does for us, whatever we have, God blows it away. And if we put our money in a pocket, it's as if we are putting it in a pocket that has holes. So imagine you have very little, and the little you try to save, by not giving to God anything in recognition of your dependence on him and his sustenance, you keep it in a purse, the purse as a whole, the pocket as a whole, so you lose everything. So in fact, we who are in this region, who face economic challenges, need to depend on God more. And that's why he says in Malachi 3:10, that test me now, not tomorrow, but open the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing until you will have no storeroom enough to store the blessings I will give. So Amen. God is asking each one of us to prove him, to test his faithfulness, not tomorrow, no, but now, no. Because tomorrow is too late. We will miss on the experience of how God is able to meet the needs that we have today.
Yeah.
And maybe to buttress this one, there is also a story that is that was in the devotionals for 2025 mm-hmm. of this couple who had a very something like, I'll just use 20 rands because we are speaking from South Africa, but okay. It was not 20 rands, it was a 20 okay, let me just be very Frank, it was a 20 kwacha
okay.
because it happened in Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the amount that they had, the last one. But they had it that way after returning their tithe and their portion of offerings. Mm. They remained with that small amount. And then they were wondering how the good Lord will be able to sustain them throughout the month with that small amount of money. But to cut the long story short, they testified that that 20 kwacha was not spent that month. They ended up banking it because God provided for them everything that they wanted, that they had no use of the 20 kwacha except to take it to the bank. So even when you are facing economic challenges, God is there to prove and to show us that he cares for us, he will sustain us, he will not leave us alone to suffer.
Yeah, he will not, indeed, he will not. Test me in this and see if you will not. It reminds me of that Elijah moment as he gets to that widow who is just gathering a few sticks to eat the last of the flour she has, and she can mm-hmm. die. And God says, no, but start with me. And if you don't see that what I then do for you will sustain you for the rest of your life. And it's a matter of trust.
Sure.
If we can trust, we will see the wonders of God. Footy, I know we can talk about stewardship for the rest of the morning. It is a passion point for you. But we'll have to leave it here. Where can people get the book? I know it's a 2025 devotion. Is it still available? Can they get a copy of it? And can they, because this, I think, is matters that are invaluable and timeless for life.
Surely, if they want those devotionals because they are timeless, they can get in touch with the us, and we will freely and happily share with them. There is also a book they should look out for, mm-hmm. Understanding Offerings. It is a profound book. We have printed the initial copies to give to our directors throughout the division, but we will roll it out so that everyone who wants to know more about offerings will be able to read and have a copy on their shelves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very important book. They should look out for it. It will be out very, very, very soon.
Mm-hmm. You say they should get in touch with you for this one here. Where do they get in touch with you, Muruti?
They can get in touch with us on my number here.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can visit our division. The secretary is there, Sister Matonsi. She will ably put it. I am not yet sure whether it is already on our website,
mm-hmm.
but if it is not yet there, it will soon be there. So when they will go to our division website under stewardship, they will be able to get it. A soft copy will always be there.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Appreciating your time, and may God bless you.
Thank you so much, and blessings to our listeners.
Thank you. That's Mfundisi Mundia Liwali, the doctor they're sharing with us this morning. You can get in touch with him, like he says. Look for him on his number, +263. That's his South African number, at least, +263 975 +2768. That's +2639752768. Alternatively, which is what I would rather encourage you to, is that the soft copy is available on the GC website, as this was a worldwide offertory book. GC website under the stewardship department, stewardship.adventist.org. Or you can just Google, God is faithful, he keeps his promises. That's it. God is faithful, he keeps his promises. It will be the first booklet that comes out under Adventist stewardship, and you'll be able to get yourself a PDF copy of that. It's 62 pages, not too long, but a potent packing that can assist you in life.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.